Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
God bless you. As they receive that, I want to just jump right into our message this morning. I want to just tell you, I'm just going to jump into the deep end of the pool this morning. Maybe you walked in empty. The title of my message this morning is simply this: God has hope for every empty heart. I want to say that. God has hope for every empty heart. How many of you have discovered that life drifts towards empty, right? The food in your pantry drifts towards empty. The fuel in your gas tank drifts for empty. The physical energy you have throughout the day drifts through towards empty. And I've discovered the older I get, the more truer that's become. Your cell phone battery drifts towards empty. The money in your wallet. Oh, you don't have that problem? Well, mine, it drifts towards empty. Here's the thing. All of our life has this tendency to drift towards empty if we're not refilling it. And this morning, as we finish up our message on Easter about the resurrection of Jesus, you know, the last thing I want to talk to you about this morning that the empty tomb reminds us of is that an empty tomb means that we can have a filled life. Just because the tomb is actually the reason the tomb was empty is so that we don't ever have to live empty. This morning, if you're living empty, can I tell you, Jesus came out of the tomb. He created an empty tomb so you can have a full life, an abundant life. I want to talk to you about that this morning. John chapter 20, verse number 11, we read this resurrection encounter. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in. And she saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where Jesus' body had been laying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they've taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they've put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. She didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you've taken him away, tell me where you've put him and I'll go get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father, but go and find my brothers and tell them I'm ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I've seen the Lord." Then she gave him his message. Father, we love you, and I'm thankful this morning that you're here to fill every empty heart. Lord, some of us today, life can be draining. Even lives that embrace good things can be draining. Lord, even ministry for you at times can be draining. But Father, the empty tomb reminds us that we can have a full life. And I pray today we'll embrace the full life you have for us. Lord, help me to preach what you want preached. Help us to hear what you want us to hear in the room and those listening online or by podcast. Weeks from now, we just pray the Word of God will work in this house today. And everyone in the room said amen. So the resurrection of Jesus brings several things to the surface. Number one, it brings to the surface the fact that our hope is built on Jesus and the fact that He's alive. On Easter Sunday morning, if you missed that message, I challenge you to go back and listen to it, watch it online, because the resurrection of Jesus is not a side note to our faith. It is the foundation of our faith. Without it, your faith is useless, is what the Word of God says. And so you got to have that message. Number two, we learned last week that all of our doubts can be dealt with the reality of the resurrection. And today, I want you to know the resurrection of Jesus brings us fulfillment. Even when life seems empty, Jesus, the resurrection, proves that you can have a full life even when it seems empty. And the star of the show, the star of our scripture outside of Jesus in this encounter was Mary Magdalene. Now, she was one of the most loyal famous, some would even say infamous followers of Jesus. And there's been a lot of speculation about who Mary Magdalene is. And we don't know everything, but I'll tell you a few things. I'll conquer real quick some of the misconceptions and the realities of her life. Number one, you know, she's usually thought of being by church tradition. She's actually, a lot of times, she's considered to be a prostitute. She was someone who lived that type of lifestyle before Jesus met her. There's actually no real evidence of that in the scripture, but that's sort of what people think. Contrary to what Hollywood movies say, there's no evidence she was the wife of Jesus, so don't believe everything you watch on television. Scripture tells us she did have 7 demons cast out of her. That's mentioned several different times. She was definitely a faithful follower of Jesus. She followed Jesus when others would not follow Jesus. We see her in his ministry. We see her supporting the ministry of Jesus. We see her being faithful even at the cross when all the other disciples were fleeing. She was being faithful. She was there. But on this resurrection morning, she came to the tomb not because she believed he was going to rise from the dead. As a matter of fact, her grief had left her so empty that she couldn't even recognize Jesus when he was standing in front of her. Friends, I think some of you in this room, life has left you so empty. You don't even realize that Jesus is standing before you today, offering you hope that you can't see. If this morning you are saying there's no way out of what I'm facing, there's no way through of what I'm going through, then friends, you have been blinded by life. You're believing a lie, because Jesus, just as Jesus was present in the middle of Mary's grief, he'll be present in the middle of every struggle you have as well. The empty tomb does not mean our hope is gone. The empty tomb means our hope remains today. He's alive. The empty tomb means that our hope can be filled. We live in a world today that doesn't know how to handle this type of faithfulness and this type of love. Mary knew what it was like to live an empty life. The very fact that she comes to Jesus somehow, some way, and she's been possessed by 7 different demons that has to be dealt with, lets you know that at some point she opened her life, not just one time, but she opened her life over and over and over again, trying to fill it with something that didn't satisfy. Listen, demonic possession doesn't happen accidentally. I'm not going to go into that this morning, but it happens as you begin to open yourself you begin to take things into your life that you're trying to make a substitute for Jesus. It may start innocent. It may start, it doesn't start innocent. It starts seemingly innocent. You think this thing is no big deal. I'm going to choose my way over God's way. I'm going to choose this shortcut around God's promise. And you don't understand that you're opening yourself up to things. Mary had just tried to find life in other things, and the other things only left her empty. But the empty tomb this morning, when she walked up to it, she thought, man, the emptiness I've had before is back again. But the empty tomb reminded her, it signaled to her, when she saw Jesus, it let her know that just because every other love on earth had let her down, it signaled to her that the love of Jesus would never let her down. And the love of Jesus will never let you down. I don't care who failed you. I don't care about your mistakes. I don't care how you've been depressed or oppressed or even demon possessed. The blood of Jesus covers all your sin. And the empty tomb says you can walk out of what's held you captive before. There's nothing as strong as the resurrection power of Jesus. I didn't plan on getting this excited this early, but just deal with it this morning. Amen. There's a love that not even death can separate us from. That's what Mary discovered. She discovered her empty heart was filled with joy. Her empty heart was filled with hope. Her troubled heart was filled with peace. Her broken heart was filled with love. The empty tomb let her know from that moment on that her emptiness would never have to stay empty again. I want to challenge you this morning as God's people. Let's never settle for a life of emptiness. But let's bring our emptiness to Jesus and allow Him to fill us today. This message shares with me several things. Number one, it reminds me that Jesus loves. Listen, if you walked in this morning, you said, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm broken. I'm empty. I'm no good. I've blown it. I've messed up. I've made the same mistakes repeatedly. Can I tell you this morning, the empty tomb reminds us, number one, that Jesus loves empty people. He doesn't just love perfect people. He loves troubled pieces, people. He loves people who's had their life broken into pieces. Jesus loves empty people. Your emptiness does not disqualify you from the love of God. It qualifies you for the love of God. Your need is not something God runs from. It's something Jesus runs to every single time. Jesus is madly in love with empty people this morning. So if you feel empty, listen, I got good news for you. God loves you. He wants better for you than you've ever experienced. And let's just be honest. Haven't we all had a season or two where we were broken and empty? 1 Corinthians reminds us as spiritual people, right? As people that have it together on the outside. Us people that God has used. And 1 Corinthians reminds us, he says, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you are wise by human standards. Not many of you are influential. Not many of you are noble of birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose, listen to this, the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify those things that are. Jesus loves. Jesus is mad about. Jesus is consumed with a passion for broken people. Not that they would stay broken, but that God can piece them back together and make something beautiful out of them. Mary was someone whose life had been totally, totally transformed by Jesus. We really don't know about her salvation experience. We really don't know when and where she met Jesus or had these demons cast out of her. All we know is from that moment on that he freed her. She was tasked with the same mission as disciples to tell people about him. She was tasked with the opportunity to follow Jesus. She was hurting. She was empty. She was damaged, but God loved her anyway. Jesus loved her anyway. And friends, Jesus still loves empty people. All through the New Testament, we find empty people coming to Jesus. And some of them make sense to me. Like I hear about blind people coming to Jesus. And he praying for them. Sometimes in strange ways. Putting mud in their eyes. Spitting on them. Being healed. I understand that. If you and I, when you and I get sick, we would do a number of things that don't make sense for any chance of being able to see, being able to hear, being able to walk again, being able to have health again. We see all these people taking these big leaps of faith, coming towards Jesus, and we understand that when Jesus touches them, sometimes we dismiss that. We say, well, yeah, but people like that, they're hurting. They'll do anything to see again, to walk again, to live again, to whatever. But then we find people touching other people who are empty, who are of a different category, like Zacchaeus. Some of you are singing a song right now. We won't sing it together, but right? He was also an empty person. He was a broken person. He was a person who knew something was lacking in his life. Lacking so much, he thought, I'm gonna embrace the ridicule of the crowds. I'm gonna go stand among people that don't like me, that talk about me. I'm gonna go stand among the people that I've ripped off and rejected at times. I'm gonna go stand amongst those who really I'd rather avoid just for the opportunity to see Jesus because there's something missing in my life. Listen, Jesus can heal those that are brokenhearted just like he can heal those who are physically sick. There's no obstacle to the person that God can reach. There's a love. Why did Zacchaeus show up that day? Because there's a love that can't be bought. There's a love that can't be faked. There's a love that whenever other love fails you, there's a love that will never fail you. It's the love of Jesus. There's a love that there's no amount of money can buy. But friends, Jesus can deliver it to you this morning. Some of you have been disappointed over and over again by people. But can I tell you this morning, Jesus will never fail you. He loves empty people. We live in a world that's filled with empty people. We live in America, and for all of her hardships and all of her failures, we're still the richest nation on the planet. The poorest person you know is a king in the eyes of most of the world's population. You understand that? It's just the reality. But there's some things money can't buy. And there's some hurts that money can't fix. I think of King Solomon. If you want to know how well off Solomon was, I think someone told me his annual income in today's dollars was somewhere in the neighborhood of $1.5 billion a year. How many could survive off that? I mean, you might have to cut back some, right? Don't eat out as much, but most of you, some of you thinking, no, that's not enough. Well, Solomon thought, he had, in today's money, $1.5 billion a year is what people paid tribute to him. And with all the stuff, he said these words, "It's worthless. It's fleeting. It leaves me empty." But friends, Jesus can fill the emptiness no one else can fill. Number two, Jesus doesn't just love empty people. Jesus is the answer to an empty culture. I just talked about that a little bit. You know, our culture is broken. It's devastated with loss. It's devastated with bitterness. There's many people describing the problems. It's amazing how much money we pay people to stand on television and describe to us our problem. Right? Newscasters, politicians, they're experts at describing the problem. I don't know about you, when I go to the doctor, if he just tells me my problem, I just want to pay him half his money. Right? Anybody can tell someone their problem. What the world needs is a solution. And yet, as you watch the television today, you'll hear a broad description of a problem, but you're not going to hear a solution. Why? Because Jesus is the only answer to an empty culture. But Jesus is too offensive for our culture to embrace, but he's still the only way. Romans chapter 1, Paul said this, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it..." You understand that? "It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek." Jesus brings hope to every human heart. He crosses every human barrier. He brings hope to the rich and the poor alike, the black, the white, the Hispanic, every person on planet Earth. The gospel will work for them. And he doesn't just love our culture, he'll use us in the middle of changing our culture. Mary Magdalene was exhibit A in God using someone who others would not use. She was a woman who shouldn't be used as a witness in those days. She was marginalized because of her past. She was looked down upon because of her association with those in her past. But yet Jesus chose to use her to change not just that moment, but the culture she was involved in. Friends, Jesus has always been about changing those around him by serving them. In the book of John chapter 13, we read about Jesus when he kneels down and begins to wash his disciples' feet. And what a humbling that experience it was for the King of the universe to bend down and begin to do the most dirtiest job on the planet. And at first sight, you can read that passage, Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And you may think, what on earth is he doing? Is it a lesson in humility? Is it a lesson in being humble in every aspect? Is it a lesson in making sure no small deed gets undone? Maybe so, but the greatest lesson is this: the way you change the world isn't by standing on the platform. It's by getting on your knees and loving people that no one else will love. The only hope for our culture is not going to be found in dishing out more and more attributes or income or money. It's going to be changed as we embrace the self-sacrifice that Jesus embraced. In 2021, Jesus is calling us to get our eyes off of how we can serve ourselves and focus on how we can serve others. That's how Jesus changes us. Third, Jesus breathes purpose to an empty existence. The empty tomb proved to Mary that there was more to life than what she sees right now. Let me tell you something. There's more to your life than what you see right now. Whether what you see is good, bad, or ugly, or you're indifferent to it, there's more to your life than what you can see. The empty tomb reminds her that her purpose is secure. I want to ask you just to think about this for a moment. Think about those disciples who followed Jesus, and then throw into the same picture Mary Magdalene. Just like those disciples who on the seashore that day forsook all and followed Jesus. She did the same thing. She followed places no one else took him to places no one else would follow him. She stayed when no one else was stayed. She walked away from the influential place she was from to follow Jesus. Some records indicate that she financially supported the ministry of Jesus. She was truly forsaken all she had to follow Jesus. And to her, when she came to the tomb that morning, she didn't come in faith. She came in heartbrokenness. She didn't come expecting something, God to do something great. She came because she thought her hope was over. She thought her purpose was lost. She thought, what if perhaps the last several years of me following Jesus from place to place, giving him my funds and my resources and being ridiculed as I follow him, what if all of that was for naught? What if my purpose was fake? What if there was no purpose in what I've been doing the last few years? And what if there is no purpose for my future? The tomb was a place where not just hope died for those disciples, but their purpose died. Many of them went back to doing what they used to do. They didn't know what to do anymore. They buried their purpose. But when Jesus spoke to her, it let Mary know nothing you've done, nothing you've given has been a waste. And your purpose, my purpose for your life has not changed. Friends, God has a purpose for you. It's beyond yourself. It's greater than yourself. It's not just for yourself, but it's going to touch those beyond yourself. So don't believe for a moment your purpose is over because things are not as you pictured them. The cross was not what any of the disciples pictured. The tomb was not what any of the disciples pictured. And the empty grave was not anything at all that Mary or the disciples pictured. It was so outside of their concept, so outside of their speculation of what they could ever imagine that Mary didn't even recognize Jesus when he was standing in front of her. Friends, don't believe for a moment just because you're facing something that's worse than you ever imagined that God has given up his purpose for you. This past week, this is kind of a recurring thing at my house. Every morning I usually get up and I start studying, and I study as long as until my kids stop me from studying. You understand that? So sometimes that's an hour, sometimes it's 2 hours, sometimes it's 5 minutes. That's how long I study. And this past week, I'd gotten up, I was studying one morning, and 6 o'clock rolled around, Stella got up, that's about right on time. I've been studying for about an hour. She walks up to the table, and so I'm thinking I'm gonna finish this sentence I'm on, and then she'll need my attention. And she sat beside me, and she opened up this little bag of Legos. It was just enough, a little package Megan had bought her. It's just enough to build one little car. And I thought, she's gonna do that for about 30 seconds, and then she'll need my help. So I'm trying to type away this thought before it vanishes. And she doesn't call for me. So I just keep, she's right there. I just keep on typing. I'm just doing my thing, you know. And I notice like 20 minutes goes by. And she's still just there, putting these Legos together. And I finally notice she's still there, and I haven't been bothered for 20 minutes. I'm like, this is awesome. This is a rarity. This is different. I look over, and she's struggling to make these two pieces fit together that would complete the car. And I started to reach over and finish it for her. And it's like the Holy Spirit kind of checked me and said, no, let her finish the process. Let her figure it out. Sometimes we don't understand what God's doing in our life. And we want him to sweep down and fix it for us. But sometimes God wants us to learn through our process. Mary showed up to the tomb. It wasn't what she wanted to see. But Jesus didn't condemn her. He just let her process what she was seeing so that what she was seeing could be what he wanted her to see. Sometimes I fear we rush God's process in people's lives and people's and in our own lives, and we miss out the fact that, listen, God's purpose for us is still intact. Just keep letting God put the pieces together, no matter how long it takes, knowing this, that He that began a good work in you, He's going to finish it. Mary discovered the one that called her out, the one that cast out the seven demons, was still working in her life. His purpose wasn't over, and His purpose isn't over for you either. Fourth this morning, let me close with this. Jesus delivers love to lives that are empty of real relationships. Our world stinks at relationships. Our world stinks at defining relationships. I mean, we determine who our friends are by whether they click on our status, like us, send us emojis, accept, whatever. We measure our friendships by what can I get out of someone or what have they done for me lately. But can I tell you something about the love of Jesus? It is not transactional. See, the Word says that God loved you while you were yet a sinner. We had nothing to offer Him. Jesus loved you. Mary Magdalene is a great example of that. She was demon-possessed. She was in not physical prison as in jail, but she was in prison. Her life was in prison. She had nowhere to go, nothing she could do, but Jesus chose to love her. Luke chapter 6 says, hey, don't just love those that love you. What credit is that? Even sinner do those things. Right? But God demonstrates His love for us. Romans 5:8 says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm just saying this morning. When all other loves leave you empty, understand that Jesus' love never will. Mary Magdalene discovered that Easter morning that the love of God was not over. And I don't know what you're facing today, but I know this. The love of God for you is not over. It's not over this morning. So I want to ask you to bow your heads with me this morning. And I want you to know that Jesus has hope for your empty heart. You were not designed to, nor do you need to, live an empty life this morning. He has hope for your empty heart. And it doesn't really matter how you derived at your current level of emptiness. Some of us this morning, you're empty this morning, and you know you're empty because you've been making choice after choice. You've been taking in substitutes for Jesus, and they just don't fill you. Nothing can fill you like Jesus. One person said years ago that there's a God-shaped hole in all of us. And it's always going to be empty until you allow God to fill it. So this morning, I want to pray two prayers. I want to pray for the person that's never accepted Jesus. Maybe you're in the room today, or maybe you accepted Him years ago, but you've let other things just edge Him out of your life, and your relationship with Him is dormant at best. Either way, you know today you're empty because you're not following Jesus. Today, listen, Jesus loves empty people. He loves empty people. He doesn't love them to condemn them. He loves them to fill them. He loves them to give life and life abundant. If that's you this morning, say, Pastor, I'm not right with God, but today I want to invite Him to fill my life and give me a new life today. Will you slip your hand real quick? That's me, Pastor. Pray for me. Amen. Number two, church, let me ask you this. As believers, you can find yourself running on empty. You can find yourself where disappointment in people has left you empty. Doing good things has left you empty. Routines can leave you empty. Disappointment in general can leave you empty. But I want to tell you, God can fill every empty heart. His love for you is not transactional. His love for you is not based on your most recent results. His love for you is not based on how how good you are or how bad you are. He loves you this morning. He has purpose for you. And maybe this morning you say, Pastor, I've walked in this room today and I've just been running on empty. It's not that I've embraced some sort of sinful life of any sort. It's just that I've expended myself on so many things lately. I'm sitting here today and I am physically and I am spiritually empty. Today I'd love to include you in this closing prayer this morning. Say, that's me, Pastor. Real quick, pray for me. Amen. 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 Father, I pray right now. Pray for those who lifted their hands. Lord, that life has left them empty this morning. Lord, there's an emptiness in their heart that they just can't get over. They can't feel it. But Lord, you can feel what we can't feel. Lord, you can heal the broken parts of our life that no one else can heal. Lord, you can speak to us those words of hope that no one else can speak to. And God, I pray for every empty heart today. I pray that you would fill it with the grace of God. I pray you'd fill it with the mercy of God. I pray you fill it with the hope of God. Lord, just as Mary showed up at the tomb that day, Lord, she discovered there was an empty tomb. But her heart was filled because she met you again. Lord, I pray we'll just meet you again this morning. We'll meet you fresh. We'll meet you real. We'll meet you as the risen Savior. We'll meet you as the one who never leaves us or forsakes us. I pray we'll meet you in a way today that will see us through every struggle of life. Just because people have failed us doesn't mean that you've failed us. So I pray that today, Lord, the God that never fails will fill every empty heart. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All across this room, would you join me by standing today? And let's just close this service by asking the Lord to fill us again. Would you stretch forth your heart? Maybe you want to, like me, stretch your hands to the Lord. And let's just pray, God, fill us today one more time. Fill us with the reality of your love. Fill us with the reality of your that you're alive today. Lord, fill us with your Spirit fresh and new this morning. Fill us with a hope that only comes from you. Fill us with the grace and the power that comes from you. Lord, forgive us when we put our eyes on other things and other people. Lord, fill us with you this morning. Lord, forgive us of our substitutes. Eradicate them from our life today and fill us with the real thing. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your grace today. Fill us with your power. Because you're alive, and because the tomb is empty, our hearts can be full. So I pray that will be the reality of our life this morning, that we'll remember every time we hear about the empty tomb, that means you can deliver a full heart. Deliver full hearts this morning. Hearts on fire for you. Hearts full of your glory. Hearts full of hope. Hearts full of peace. Hearts full of every good thing you have for us. And we'll give you thanks for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap for his word today? We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hey, God bless you. Thanks for worshiping with us today. Why don't you give someone a high five? Let them know you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord. And have a wonderful, wonderful day. God bless you. It's 10:05. If no one's told you yet today they love you, let me be the first. God bless you. We love you today.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.